Hello and welcome to the Ethanol Report. With me today is Mr. Bob Dineen, who is President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association. It's been an interesting week for the ethanol industry. EPA announced that it was delaying a decision on a waiver to allow up to 15% ethanol and regular gasoline as ethanol blends. And the Renewable Fuels Association is concerned about that delay and is questioning some of the comments that EPA made regarding the potential approval sometime next year, only for cars made after 2001. Now, Bob, can you explain what RFA's concern is there?
Well, there's two concerns. One, EPA has laid out no technical justification for limiting any potential approval of E15 to model years 2001 and newer. And the data that we have done with the state of Minnesota in our own test program shows that there are no materials compatibility or drivability issues with older vehicles, and EPA has before it no data to suggest that there is an issue. So we're just somewhat, you know, mystified as to why EPA is drawing this arbitrary line with respect to newer vehicles when there's no technical reason for them to do so and they've got no data to justify it. Our other concern is trying to bifurcate the market in this way and to tell a gasoline marketer, you know, you can only sell E15 to 60% of your consumers. The other 40%, you know, you're going to have to sell something else to. The marketplace cannot respond in that way. And we're concerned, thus, that if they were to grant a waiver for E15 in the fashion that they outlined in their letter on Monday, that it would really have very little effect on driving additional ethanol demand in these higher-level blends.
Well, of course, the really huge concern here is that this continues to delay the expansion of ethanol in the market and the ability to meet the renewable fuels standard. What are the potential that EPA could immediately approve E12 as a bridge between now and possibly mid-2010 when they hope to make a final decision on E15?
Well, we certainly have been concerned about this paralysis by analysis that is occurring at the agency. And, you know, they want to study some of these things to death. And you know, while there may be some rationale for making sure that the DOE data on catalyst durability is in before they make a final decision, in the meanwhile, they certainly can recognize their own existing fuel regulations and allow E12 to be blended today. If it is okay to blend 2% MTBE on top of 10% ethanol, what in the world difference does it make if you have 12% of a single oxygenate? And so, I mean, we would think that would just represent a good faith step. Look, we want E15. We think E15 makes sense. We think it's justified not just in post-2001 vehicles, but in all vehicles. But in the meanwhile, do what makes sense and recognize your own regulations would seem to allow moving to E12 today. That would open up a market for an additional 20% ethanol demand. And while not the end point that we want to get to, most certainly, would be a step in the right direction and would be a relief valve for a whole lot of shutting ethanol capacity that today doesn't have a market because of this arbitrary limit on 10% blends.
What can we do to move EPA in that direction of approving E12? You've asked several times. It seems like a very simple step for them to take. What's the holdup?
Well, I think it's just a holdup with respect to EPA's, the way they're viewing this. You know, some have mischaracterized this whole issue that you need to have additional data in order to approve E12. And you need to do the same kind of testing before you can approve E12. And so if you're going to do all that testing anyway, why not go to E15? We'd agree if that were the case. The whole point, though, is that you don't need to do any additional testing, that EPA's existing regulations would already allow that much oxygen requirement or that much oxygen content. And so, you know, this gets you out of that testing morass that EPA is putting us into. I think it's a question of political will. I think it's a question of commitment to expanding this industry. I think it's a question of a couple of bureaucrats that really just don't want to allow for the possibility of increased ethanol growth as rapidly as possible, and I think that that's really unfortunate. We're going to continue to at least make the case that there are steps you can take today. If you've got to wait another 6 or 7 months, you know, we don't think that that's necessary. We think that's foolish. But in the meanwhile, at least take this one step.
How might this affect the expansion of the industry as you talked about, the expansion and the move to next generation ethanol?
Well, I think it's another chilling signal to the marketplace that the demand for ethanol may not be there to meet the supplies that are already, you know, built, that are coming online, and that are trying to get financed. It doesn't send a real strong signal that there's going to be a place for new entrants into this marketplace to put their product. And, you know, that, again, is just going to delay the U.S. transition to a more energy-secure future.
All right. Thank you very much. That's Bob Dineen, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association. I'm Cindy Zimmerman with the Ethanol Report.